Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Welcome into the studio, another edition of the official podcast. Eric Allen joined by wide receivers coach Miles Austin. What's it like for you to be coaching a professional football team here in Florham Park, just a couple miles away from where you grew up in Summit?
Oh, it's really special. That's why when this opportunity came about, it was something that you really can't pass up at all. So, yeah, but being born in Summit, growing up in Garfield, yep. Going to Monmouth University, which is all here in Jersey, it's just great to be back home and have a chance to help the home team win finally for the first time instead of trying to beat them every time going against them.
Miles, how much time do you spend down on the shore since you did go to school at Monmouth? And obviously, you don't have time to do it right now as training camp gets going, but like during your downtime.
Oh, yeah. We live down there. So we live, my family and I live down in Rumson. So that's like where home is. So right now during camp, I obviously stay up here as much as I can with the long hours that we're working. And during the season, probably two nights a week, I'll stay up here. But yeah, we're right down there by the shore living. That's the reason why we chose that area when we moved back to Jersey, because it was next to Monmouth, and we just loved the shore. So
for people who don't know too much about the shore, you, as a guy who lives there, who played collegially down there, what would you say?
Monmouth specifically, you're saying?
In Monmouth, Rumson, all that stuff.
Yeah. The area is just, it's awesome. You know, I think the tagline for the Monmouth football team that they send out to the recruits is we train where other people vacation or something like that. So, yeah, no, it's awesome. It's a great area down there. You got the shore right there. The weather's awesome. Being able to hit the beach whenever you can is always a great thing. So we took advantage of it. We should have taken advantage of it more when we were in school, but whenever you did get out there to the boardwalk or the beach, it was just awesome.
Undrafted free agent here in training camp. What do you tell the guys about your experience?
I try to tell them things I learned, mistakes I've made, and things that I've done right, things I wish people have told me, things that people had told me. So I just try to impart on them how important it is, especially as the undrafted guys, how attention to detail matters, how the way you are in meetings matter, the way you walk through matters, the special teams reps, everything that you do matters, because essentially you got to go in with the mindset of they're trying to do anything they can to get me out of here, and I have to make it as hard as I can on them when the time comes.
Why did you make it, though? In terms of being that guy who comes out of Monmouth, big fish, little pond, and you come in the National Football League and you have a long career?
The thing that helped me was I just have a big fear of failure almost, you know? So it's like I'm going to do whatever I can. Like, I'm not going to fail. Like, I have to, you know, I'm going to just do whatever it takes to make it work out. So that's really the approach I took. So what did I need to do to make that happen? I had to, on special teams, whenever you had me block somebody, I had to go hit somebody as hard as I can. I had to know what I was doing. I was there on time, you know, just trying to do all those things I could to make, like I said, the decision at the end of the camp that much more difficult, whether you're going to try to release me or put me on practice squad. I'm going to make you have to almost sign me to the team. So that was the mindset that I have, and that's the kind of wisdom that I try to impart on those guys day in and day out.
What's unique about this offense from a wide receiver's perspective?
I was in other offenses in Dallas, and the first time I experienced this offense was in Cleveland with Kyle Shanahan mm-hmm. being the offensive coordinator over there. And I really honestly just fell in love with it, just how the formations are set up, what our rules were in the run game, and just the way we try to find ways to attack defenses. So that's when I really fell in love with it. And then I got it again when I was out there in San Fran and having it here. Obviously, I'm a lot more familiar with it, but I fell in love with it in 2014 when I was first kind of introduced to it.
What's the expectation for a wide receiver? As a guy who thrived in the system yourself, who fell in love with it, one thing that stuck out to me last year about Mike LaFleur when he was explaining the offensive system is you guys require the receivers to learn all the different positions. You can't just be an outside guy. You can't just be a guy who's going to live in the slot.
Yes. That's really the way our offense is set up. So we have concepts, obviously, but we have formations. And we have a whole bunch of formations. So all of our formations can get two to three people in a specific cluster, let's call it, that have a combination to run. So as long as you know the combinations and you know where you're lined up, you'll have we have the ability to put you at number one, number two, or number three option in that combination based on our formations. So that's if you just know what our offense is and you know where to line up and you know our concepts, you shouldn't have any problem. You know, I mean, now at this point, now it just takes ability, it takes strain, it takes effort, all the other things we ask them for. But as far as schematically, if you know where to line up and what our concepts are, you should be able to kind of handle everything because we can put you anywhere.
We're going to get back to that in a second. That's a key word around here, though, strain. Mm-hmm. From a coaching perspective, what does that mean when Saleh's talking about that all the time, when Miles Austin is in the wide receivers room saying, hey, guys, we got to strain?
Strain is the thing that takes a guy from good to great. It takes a team from good to great or bad to better, or you know, it moves you up a notch, strain. And it really takes nothing other than you wanting to do it. You know, it doesn't take any, you don't have to be fast to strain. You could be the slowest person in the world and still strain, you know. Yeah. So just kind of imparting that on our guys to constantly keep that in the forefront of their mind, I think is going to get not only them better individually, but us as a group better, and then ultimately team-wise, get the whole team better.
What do Corey Davis and Braxton Berrios mean for you with this young group?
Oh, it's awesome because they've been in this system. They know it. So, and they pretty much do everything you ask them to do. So having those guys there that you know you can put in and get consistency out of is really makes it easy on my end when I got to script the day out. You know, you got to put guys in different spots, and whenever you put those two guys down on the sheet, you just feel like, all right, this is going to be handled right here, you know. So, yeah, it feels great to have those guys.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So there was a play today in practice. We're taping this, but Zach drew an offsides from a defender, rolls out to his left, throws 50-plus yards, and Elijah Moore makes the catch 80 yards. That play covered in all. Something like that, does that speak to familiarity in the system and how these guys are growing up together? Because maybe we wouldn't have saw that play last summer.
Yeah, I think especially in Elijah's case and all of our receivers' cases, especially the ones that were here last year, the first year you're kind of implementing something. It's the first time a lot of guys have just been in a huddle in general. You know, it's a lot of times they've heard the type of verbiage that we have for them. So being their second year, hearing the same type of verbiage, the things that you were correcting last year, you kind of don't have to correct as much because more people know it. And the fact that more people know it and are doing it, the younger guys that come in kind of see the right example more often than not.
Right.
So that's kind of how that kind of flows naturally to get us better scheme-wise on those plays. I mean, that play right there was just a connection of us realizing they've jumped off sides. My original route was already cut off, so let's just make a play. And Elijah can do that pretty much as good as anybody in our whole receiver room.
What's his next step? He's so competitive, and we saw the skills that he brought to the table last year. He only played 11 games, but he still had 5 touchdowns. And I thought you saw that chemistry really take off with him and the aforementioned Zach Wilson down the stretch.
Yeah, he really like took off right in the middle of the year, and then obviously tailed off with the injury, but. In the beginning of the year, it was just kind of like, again, like I was mentioning, hearing those concepts and understanding exactly what he had to do. There was just a little bit off. It was just a little bit off. And then he kind of hit his stride. I don't know if it was like week 5 to 10 or something like that.
Yep.
He just hit his stride and really was playing at the level that he expects to play at and we expect him to play. And I think hopefully he can start at that level or better. And still continue to climb to push even further. So he's been a pleasure to coach. He's ultra competitive. He wants to win every rep. And a lot of times I got to pull him back to say, listen, let's just take a big picture of this thing and take it play by play, regardless of what happened on the last one. But I tell you what, he's a pleasure to coach because he has that strain that we're talking about.
Does it help you as a coach that similar situations, maybe Garrett Wilson's drafted a little bit earlier? We know Elijah was drafted at the top of the second round, whereas Garrett comes in number 10 overall. But you're coaching up a guy in his first year who similar skill set, I think, in some ways, totally different players, I know that. But in terms of their versatility, that you coached up a guy like Elijah last year, and now you have a guy like Garrett who seems the same in the way he approaches things, that he's going to be a sponge and he's going to learn from his teammates, and he's ultra competitive as well.
He is very competitive, and he's another one. He's special. You know, it's just his body movement. Obviously, he's unbelievably athletic. It's like now taking that athleticism and still being able to use that athleticism within the framework of what we have as an offense. And we're working that blend right now, but I mean, a lot of the plays he's making and the amount of time and energy he's putting into improving, not only in the classroom, but out here on the field, I can tell he's going to be a special player for us as long as he continues to do exactly what he's doing, and he's going to really help us out. He's going to really help us.
If he's fast and he's quick, and one of the most impressive plays or efforts he had out here, I think, in training camp was actually a catch he didn't come down with, but it just spoke to he can jump through the gym. He went up 2 defenders in the area, and he was mad at himself for not coming down with it, but that basketball background, you can see that a little bit, huh?
Yeah, you can see it at the line of scrimmage, at the top of routes. I like to see it less sometimes when the ball's in the air. I mean, unless you really have to go up and go get it. Because really, as receivers, we're trying to keep our feet on the ground to be able to continue to move after we catch it. So we work that with all of our guys. Are just like jumping when you have to, but also being heavy to the ground so you can do something with it instantly. But yeah, that play, like going up, it looked like it was one of those. I don't know, was it DeAndre Jordan who kind of like, or maybe it was like, you know, it was like Blake
Griffin?
Griffin.
Yeah.
You know when he almost got pushed up a little higher as he jumped up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he went up. He went really, really high. Now, I don't know what his vertical was. I'm sure it was around 40, but he was about 45 on that play.
It felt like that, yeah. And he's in helmet and shorts. How cool is it for you guys, the possibilities now that this is a group that can kind of grow up together, because you're working with a quarterback in his second year in Zach?
It is special. Those guys are together. I saw they were out there in Idaho working together. So whenever you get a core group around similar age or at least similar interests or at least that are just that connected together, there's so much more of a bond that can happen off the field, but that translates to how you practice. That translates to games, trusting the guy across from you, knowing the guy across from you. It makes you work that much harder as a player. I've been in that situation with my teammates as a player, and I just know that there were times like late in games, you're with your guys, and you know, as long as you're connected in that way, you feel like you got a chance late in games to do things special.
I'm not asking you to go Rob Calabrese here and give me your complete evaluation on Zach, but from your guys' eyes, what's different about him here that second summer? Because one of the things that caught my eyes again today was that it seemed like you're going tempo. And maybe last year at this time, that's not something you guys are doing, where he's processing the play and takes some time to hear what's coming in from LaFleur. But he really seems like he's getting to the line quicker and going through everything quicker and hitting your guys.
Yeah, it goes back to even with our receiver room, familiarity, just hearing the play calls, hearing the concepts, knowing them. The more you do anything, you know, 10,000 hour rule, the more you do anything and the more you are practicing the right way, the better you get. So not only him, but our entire receiver room, our entire offensive line, everyone hearing it another year and being able to digest what they're hearing from the huddle and being able to execute it, because you've had those looks. You have memories in your head of what happened the last time I faced this look or I faced this coverage or this leverage in front of me. You can go back to those memories and kind of figure out answers faster than you did when it's the first time you're hearing it versus the first look that you're seeing.
All right, you got to roll. You've been gracious with your time. I got to get a quick one in, though. With Zach, Robert Saleh was talking about the second play. There's the first play, and then there's the second play when he breaks the pocket. From a receiver's view, what do you guys have to do when you see the athletic guy get out? What's the move next?
There are like just general rules a lot of times when ball scrambles out right. You're obviously trying to find space out there, and you're trying to find that space, again, kind of like I was saying almost with Garrett, within the confines of how we're all going to get there. So without getting in too much to specifics, there's spaces we have to get to based on how we're running there or who's in what spot. Mm-hmm. So every time that Zach ever does break out the pocket, it's a great way we can practice those rules and kind of tweak them as we go, or realize, oh, I should have came down on this one, or I should have taken the top off versus this look on the sideline. And I thought Elijah's play today was a great example of like what to do kind of when a play breaks down. So we're getting reps at it every single day. So those second plays happen pretty often in games. You know, a lot of guys, a lot of big, good quarterbacks out there kind of make their hay on those second plays. So hopefully we can be one of those teams that can make something out of those as well.
Yeah, appreciate your time, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Sounds good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.